This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about, I just realized I don't know whether to do it in a French accent or not, croissant.
Croissant. Or?
Or croissants.
Croissants, in fact.
Or Chris sandwiches.
Not Chris sandwiches. We're not talking about Chris sandwiches.
But we are talking about croissants. And of course, we are eating croissants. And I could not be more delighted about this turn of events.
I know. I was thinking on the way over here that I often start out shows by saying, I am so excited about today's show.
Yep.
And today, it may be the most excited I have ever been.
Yeah, I was thinking about too. And I'm really excited about the next show we're doing too, which you'll hear about in 2 weeks. A croissant is sort of such an unlikely thing to have been a world-conquering pastry, don't you think?
Well, it's, for one thing, it's so delicate. It's not like it travels well. And for another thing, it's really labor-intensive and difficult to make. Like, you would think that something like a muffin would be the world-conquering pastry.
Well, and I think they are, but...
But not like croissant. I mean, like...
It's true. Like, it's a fundamental item.
Yes.
Have you ever made croissants from scratch? Now I'm doing like a half French, half American, just like, you know.
Croissants. Have I ever made croissants? I have not. I feel like there's a certain category of food that I feel like I'm never going to be able to make as well as someone who has made, you know, them every day for years and years. So why bother? And croissants are one of the things I feel that way about. I also feel that way about like chocolate confections, like
absolutely
dipped chocolates where it requires like tempering the chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, that's Fran's
why
job.
Bother? That is totally Fran's job. Yeah. And I also kind of feel that way about I feel that way about baguettes. For some reason,
definitely.
I sort of feel that way about other breads, but I really feel that way about baguettes. I'm never gonna like, you know, try to
Because I've done like baguette. The no need bread that you bake in a pot, but you can't bake a baguette in a pot.
No, why
someone's going to email and say yes, you can bake a baguette in a pot. Thank you in advance for that email.
Have you ever made croissants?
I have never made croissants. I mean, I love the idea that you make like this big rectangle of butter. What do you call it? Like the slab of butter?
I was actually hoping you were going to know.
Like, you know, you make a big rectangular slab of butter
and
sort of
fold that into
your dough. That's really cool. I'm sure I would
wrong. You know, I've always wanted to use a sheeter.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing that
It looks like a laminating machine. Well, it is kind of a laminating machine, but for dough.
Yeah, I mean, it passes the dough on a conveyor belt back and forth through a roller. So it's like, you know, sort of like it looks sort of like the toasting oven at Quiznos, only with a rolling thing instead of an oven in the middle, and it goes both ways.
And basically, you put in it this dough that you have sort of folded butter into, and you feed it back and forth through this thing many, many, many times, folding it and turning it. And so you get these thin layers of butter in between layers of dough.
So I feel like croissants, there are so many things you have to get right. Because I don't want to be a super croissant snob, but there are a lot of bad croissants in the world.
There are so many bad
croissants. And I don't, and I certainly understand that. It's not like bad chocolate chip cookies that there's no excuse for. Croissants are really hard to make well.
Yes, which is why I will never make them.
Yes, me neither. Mm-hmm. But I do want to eat them, and I want to eat them as soon as possible.
Well, so we each have three half... We started out with three croissants. Look, now I'm trading off how I say them, too. And we cut them in half, and we thought that we would maybe taste these, not to critique them, but just to sort of tease out what makes a croissant good and what we're looking for.
Yes.
Because obviously we are authorities, having made millions of these.
Having eaten millions of them. yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm looking for color. I want to see the layers of dough rolled in the middle. I want it to pull apart with kind of elasticity.
Yeah.
Can I pull one?
Oh, yeah, pull it. Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know the way like a cotton ball kind of pulls, like it's got this sort of tension to it?
Exactly.
I'm looking for that. Okay, so I'm going to start with the same one that you mm-hmm. started with. Ooh, this one is really pretty. You can see like almost, like the way that it baked on top and it's all crispy and shattery. You can almost see like little pockets of air under these like bubbles of the crust.
Mm, that is so good.
I'm also looking for a shatter factor. Like I really want to
yes.
be covered in croissant shards when I'm finished.
Oh yeah, it's my entire torso is going to be a disaster area.
You know, this one's kind of salty.
It is, and mm-hmm. that's just one of the so many factors you have to get right. I mean, you have to get the yeastiness because croissants are a yeasted dough. You know, unlike other puff pastry ish items, you know, there's some yeast in there, and you want to be able to taste that, but not too much. You want the salt to be right. You want it to be buttery, but not greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't believe anyone has ever successfully made one of these things. It's astonishing.
Do you like it to, when you bite into it?
I am in awe.
When you bite into it, do you like it to spring back with all the layers kind of separate? Or do you like it to smash down, you know, like kind of get glued together where you bit into it?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I think my preference is for it to spring back.
Mm-hmm.
I do sort of have a soft spot for Costco croissants.
What?
Which
say that again. What?
Costco croissants, which I know they're terrible, but you know they're like the Wonder Bread of croissants. They are not flaky. They are mushy. You know, you can make a sandwich with them, and you know they're just kind of delightfully greasy. And those are like the quintessential like stick together
okay.
when you bite into it.
You brought up sandwiches again, and I really need to talk about this. Why in God's name would people ever make a sandwich on a croissant? I don't understand. I'm not a fan of the croissant sandwich.
I am not usually either, but. Sometimes, you know, I used to get the Burger King croissant sandwich when I was growing up. I still occasionally do. I have a soft spot for it. I don't often, there's not really any other sandwich that I prefer to have served on a croissant. I think it's just like an American thing. Like, you know, I found this thing, let's use it to make a sandwich. You know, any item you find in the United States mm-hmm. will either be put into the middle of a sandwich or be used as the bread in a sandwich.
I found this empty shoebox. Mm-hmm. Do you think we could fill it with lunch meat and cheese?
Absolutely. I think we can do that. I think that's the next episode that I'm so excited about. Shoebox sandwiches.
Hey, so hold on. One of these croissants, the one that you picked up.
Oh, now it's my fault.
It's totally your fault. I don't think this one is very good. So this one to me is a little on the waxy side.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tough. It doesn't really shatter. And I'm not getting a very good butter flavor. Let's talk about
this. Yeah, I agree. You know, it just goes back to what we were saying. I mean, it's all about the balance. I don't think it's a terrible croissant.
No, it's not terrible. But it is definitely, to me, it's missing some crucial texture and flavor.
Yeah, it's a little too sweet. It's not salty enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm moving on. So one of the ones you brought is like kind of absurd looking.
It is. It's like the ends of it are almost kind of square.
Yeah, it's like it's wearing square toed shoes.
Totally.
Or it has fists coming out of it. Oh, but I like the pull.
What do you think of that one? What's this one doing for you? I like this one because it was baked pretty dark. I like a dark croissant. I don't want it to be pale.
When I was in Japan, and first of all, I can't believe that you haven't yet said when I was in France.
Do you know that on the way over here, as I was driving over, I thought to myself, Molly, don't talk about France. Don't talk about France. And in my head, I was like, well, you got to talk about France. I mean, we're eating a pastry that, even though I guess it had its origins in Vienna.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, in France, you would call this style of pastry a
viennoiserie.
Viennoiserie. Wow. Oh, my God. Nice work. We should look up that Vienna thing in case I'm making a terrible mistake. But anyway, the world thinks of croissant as a French thing. But I'm not talking about France today. You can talk about it all you want.
Well, I was going to talk about Japan because when I was in Japan, which does have very good French pastry, there was this bakery called Dun Brown.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I agree with it, you. Pastry must be Dun Brown.
Was it D-O-N-E or D-U-N?
Mm. Good question. D-O-N-E.
Mm-hmm. I really like the sugar to salt balance of this last one. I feel like, I mean, all of these croissants are slightly flawed in their way.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had a perfect croissant. And maybe the perfect croissant. It's about the journey.
It is,
it's
about the destination. The yeah. It's about the journey to France. Oh, right. I wasn't going to talk about that. Is there any croissant you wouldn't eat?
I feel like I've had some really bad ones.
Yeah, I've had some really... I don't like the one... Have you ever had ones that are, like, huge? Like, literally the size of a shoebox? No, I mean, there are some that are huge that, like, show up in, like, you know, airport coffee shops.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, like coffee... A croissant you get at a coffee chain is almost always going
to
be terrible.
Yeah. Would you eat it? If you were starving to death, eat it if there were no other food on earth?
Why? I have to think about that. Yes.
Okay. Would you eat it if there were a bagel next to it?
No.
What if the bagel were really big and bad?
Oh, this is.
Which one would you choose? A really bad croissant or a really bad bagel?
This is just making me sad.
Okay. You don't have to answer that.
I guess probably I would choose the bad croissant unless it was bad because it was rancid. Because at least the croissant has butter.
That's true. That's true.
You know, probably like I would it would take longer before I starved if I had the croissant.
Yeah, that's true. That's great.
Since these were the last two food items on Earth.
That's great. Okay.
I would. could we like spice this up a little by having me find a shoebox full of lunch meat behind the counter? Maybe.
I think I would choose that.
So I've gone into a post-apocalyptic Starbucks, and the only things in there are a giant croissant, a giant bagel, and a stashed away box full of bologna.
At room temperature.
At room temperature. It's probably been sitting there for several days.
You lucky man.
Yep. Is it going to be starvation or listeria that gets me?
Hey, so do you like kinds of croissant that aren't just plain?
I do, yes.
Would you?
The plain is my...
I was about to ask you another... You know, given an apocalyptic scenario, what flavor of croissant would you choose? No, go on. Sorry.
I like the chocolate and I like the almond. Those are by far the two most common, right?
What if there's a chocolate almond? What if you choose between death by a chocolate almond croissant?
Here is something I will say that is actually relevant to what you're saying.
Great.
I think a bad almond croissant is way better than a bad plain croissant.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because the almond paste is sort of a constant.
Anything is better with almond
paste.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would even eat... I might even eat...
A shoebox full of almond paste?
Exactly.
Okay.
I could be forced to do it.
What about a sandwich where the almond paste is the bread?
And inside... is bologna.
Yes.
I would eat it.
The thing I like about... did you bring an almond croissant?
I did.
Yes. The thing I like about almond paste is not just that it's got the great flavor, which is very different from the flavor of like a toasted almond, but it's got that great chewy texture to it.
It's the best. And the almond croissant I brought today is one of my favorites. Should I cut it? First, feel how heavy it is. This is my favorite part of an almond croissant.
It's like a 5-pound croissant.
Yeah. It's okay. Hang on. I'm going to go cut it.
Okay. My only gripe with this is that it has too much powdered sugar, which is really common for flavored croissants, I think. Mm. Well, for almond croissants. But that's fine because I can just knock some right off.
What I like about this is that almond paste is really not terribly sweet at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What I like about chew is it's chewy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus.
So chocolate croissants, I feel like I have mixed feelings about, because so often a chocolate croissant has like sort of a perfunctory, not very high quality baton of chocolate in it, and not even enough chocolate. Boo to batons. Your baton work sucks.
I agree. Sometimes it's kind of like too sweet, crappy kind of chocolate.
Yeah. And such small portions. but when a chocolate croissant is done with care, with good quality chocolate and enough chocolate, and they've taken pains to like have it integrated sort of throughout the croissant, I'm all over that.
Oh, I really like it. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
And the other thing is, have you ever had the Trader Joe's Bake at Home croissants?
I have not, but I've heard they're good.
I meant to get some and I did not. But they are not only good, I suspect they are probably the best croissants available in many parts of the United States.
I would buy that.
Because not just
literally.
Because, yeah, not just because fresh baked is always a nice thing, but they're really quite well done, and they're amazing. You know, it's an amazing science experiment, because you take out these little teeny tiny frozen croissants that are like, you know, the size of a beetle.
Are they really that like that tiny?
Why did I say a beetle? Why is that the thing?
Do you mean a Volkswagen Beetle?
Yeah, they're the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. You leave them on the counter to thaw and rise overnight.
They swell to the size of an SUV.
Yeah, then you have a Hummer in the morning, so they start out, you know, they're like an inch long, and then they grow overnight, and then they spring more when you bake them, and they're just really quite good. You know, they're a little on the greasy side. They're not as good as a professionally made French bakery croissant, but they're not bad at all by comparison.
How do you feel about Pillsbury crescent rolls?
I feel like they are an unrelated, it's a convergent evolution thing. they're not croissants. They're not pretending to be croissants. I like them.
I do like how salty they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really salty.
And so find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. And on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
You can also find us on iTunes.
Maybe you already did. You can leave us a review. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, or as it's called in France, Spilled.
I think that's German. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton. Given a choice between a Pillsbury crescent roll or a Costco
and
croissant.
Certain death. Go on.
You don't really get this dilemma thing, do you?
I would choose the Pillsbury crescent roll.
Over death.
Over death.
Yeah. Okay. Glad we established that. Great.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.